Hey guys, welcome back to Defining Truth Podcast. Today, we have updates on the assassination attempt against Donald Trump and what's come out in recent days. Also, we're going to talk about the RNC in Milwaukee. Had some powerful statements from some very interesting people. We'll show you some videos of that. And then, what is the condition of Joe Biden, who's retreated once again into a basement? Let's talk about that. All right, welcome back, guys. It's good to be back. We've done a little more than usual lately, but again, there's a lot going on in the news. Check us out at definingtruth.org. It's our website. You can check out a little bit about who we are and what our goal is as a nonprofit. Also, our book is available on there, Defining Truth. You can buy it in paperback, in Kindle, or in audio format on audible.com or in the Audible app. It's a great book to equip you for the culture war. It's 10 chapters, and in each chapter, we break down and dissect a culture war topic, whether it's self-defense, the pro-life movement, or even words like love and what the difference is between a traditional Christian Judaic perspective of that word, what it means, versus the human secularist world of today. All right, so Brandon Jones, you're back. You were back last week. We're going to talk about the RNC. You watched the RNC for the most part, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I did as well, off and on. And then,
did you want to mention real quick, too, since we forgot last week, that we're also on the Real Life Network?
Yes, yes. Also, you can catch Defining Truth, the podcast, now on Real Life Network. That's RLN. And if you haven't, check out Real Life Network, the app. You can get it in the App Store or the Google App Store, whatever that's called. I don't know because I have an iPhone.
Google Play.
Google Play. There you go. RLN, Real Life Network, for awesome conservative and Christian-focused content. That's Real Life Network. You can watch Defining Truth and a lot of other good shows on there as well. Check that out, reallifenetwork.com, reallifenetwork.com. So the RNC had some really interesting speakers. We're actually gonna go through and watch some of these and let our listeners and viewers here see it for themselves. The first one is a mother whose topic was really open borders and the effects of it, and she has a powerful story. This is Ann Fundner. She lost her son to a fentanyl overdose. She calls it a fentanyl poisoning. I concur. Let's listen to Ann Fundner here at the RNC.
And on February 27, 2022, our lives were shattered and our baby was gone. This was not an overdose, it was a poisoning. His whole future, everything we ever wanted for him, was ripped away in an instant. And Joe Biden does nothing. I hold Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the borders are, what a joke, and Gavin Newsom and every Democrat who supports open borders responsible for the death of my son.
All right, that was Ann Fundner talking about the loss of her eldest son, who was, as far as we know, just a normal teenager who fell to peer pressure and tried something one night, and unfortunately it cost him his life. She accurately points out that it is the blame rests entirely with the Biden administration. And interestingly enough, she's from Southern California. She mentioned Governor Newsom. He is the worst, and obviously he is to blame as well, as are all the other Democrat leftist politicians who have betrayed their country and allowed the Biden administration to continue harming America. Next, another mother who also lost her son. He was a veteran of Afghanistan, I believe. This is Madeline Brame. She's from New York, and her topic was crime and how the devastating left-wing crime policies around the country have real-world consequences. Listen to Madeline Brame.
My son, Sergeant Hassan Korea, an Afghanistan war retired veteran. He received enemy fire from the Taliban, only to be murdered with a knife on the streets of New York City. The four assailants responsible for his death initially were facing justice, but that changed when District Attorney Alvin Bragg was elected. Suddenly, two of the homicidal maniacs responsible for my son's death had their gang assault and murder charges completely dismissed. I later learned that Alvin Bragg often dismisses and reduces dangerous criminals. The injustice was devastating for me and my family. I don't want anyone else to experience the senseless pain that many other victims across this United States of America have to live with every day. So I decided to use the voice that God gave me to be the voice for the voiceless across America. We need justice for victims, and we need accountability for prosecutors who fail in their duty. Soft on crime prosecutors like Alvin Bragg in New York, Kim Fox in Chicago, and George Gascon in Los Angeles have turned our great country and cities into war zones. Poor and neglected communities like mine are suffering. And who else in here is sick and tired of being sick and tired? The Democratic Party that poor minorities have been loyal to for decades, including myself, all right? They betrayed us. They stabbed us in the back. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who claim to represent us, have abandoned us. They neglected the poor minority communities across America. But mine eyes have been opened. Just like so many other poor minorities across America. Donald Trump shares our values, love of God and family and country. He's been a victim of the same corrupt system that I have been and my family has been. Rolling back deadly bail reform policies that are getting our children killed every single day. And supporting our police. We back the NYPD. We back the blue. When he said, they're after us. He's just standing in the way. And guess what? He always will. That's why I'm standing with him today. Let's make America safe again.
All right, there you have Madeleine Brame with a powerful speech there at the RNC. Back the blue, NYPD, powerfully she stated that minorities who have been loyal to the Democrats have been stabbed in the back by leftists now for many years. And she said, you know, something to the effect of no longer I, my eyes have been opened. Strong, strong words. no doubt this is scaring the pants off of Democrats. This RNC was just a powerful demonstration of people of all races and creeds across this country coming together to stop Democrats from continuing to destroy this country. Next, we had a pastor, Lorenzo Sewell, if I'm saying his name right, from 180 Church in Detroit. This is a black church in Detroit. You'll hear him talk a little bit about how there was people who were kind of upset when not too long ago he invited President Trump to come and speak at his church. Listen to Pastor Lorenzo here talking about this. Also, very powerful words.
My name is Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. I have the honor and the privilege of being a senior pastor at 180 Church. And we were blessed last month to have President Donald Trump come to Detroit, Michigan. Let's go. Can you imagine President Donald Trump coming to a city and calling a pastor like me, a pastor who was born and raised on the east side of Detroit? I was mentored by murderers. I was a student of the street. But I had a radical experience with Jesus Christ that changed my life forever. President Trump came to a church that is in a Democratic stronghold. He came to a church to listen to average, everyday Americans like you and like me. He came to a church not to speak to us, but to listen to us. He came into a church, and a lot of people, they were upset. A lot of people, they would ask me questions. Why would you allow Donald Trump to come into your church? How many know that the Bible says we are all sinners and we all need the grace of God? How many know that the Bible says, he who has not sinned, let him cast the first stone? Grand old party. What would you do for your birthday if you were worth $6.7 billion? What would you do for your birthday? Would you come to Detroit? Would you come into the hood? He came to the hood because he cares about average, everyday Americans. What would you ask for your birthday? If you could go to Mar-a-Lago or if you could go to New York, what would you ask for your birthday? He asked for prayer. I believe that praying in the name of Jesus changes everything. And when we prayed for President Trump, only God knew that 30 days later, there would be a miracle by a millimeter. Only God knew that if we prayed for him during his birthday, there would be a miracle by a millimeter. If President Trump had moved one millimeter, he wouldn't have been here on Monday to talk to us about how America was going to be made wealthy again. If President Donald Trump would have moved just a millimeter, he wouldn't have been here on Tuesday to talk about how he was going to make America secure again. If President Donald Trump would have moved just a millimeter, he wouldn't have been here on Wednesday to tell us how he was going to make America strong again. And if President Trump would have moved just a millimeter, we will not be hearing tonight how he was going to make America great again. I just got to talk to you about something called providence and something called sovereignty. God's sovereignty is his ability to be able to do what he wants when he wants because he's God. And God's providence, it's when he does what he wants when he wants for all of you. To all my Democrat friends, I want to ask you one question. Do you know anybody that was the 45th president? He was convicted of 34 accounts. He raised $53 million in 24 hours and could be the 47th president of the United States in America. And he was shot one time. Do you know anybody like that? To all my friends back in Detroit who are Democrats, I want to ask you just one simple question. You can't deny the power of God on this man's life. You can't deny that God protected him. You cannot deny that it was a millimeter miracle that was able to save this man's life. Could it be that Jesus Christ preserved him for such a time as this? Could it be?
All right, so that was Pastor Lorenzo Sewell from 180 Church in Detroit, again, with some very strong words for America in general. The millimeter miracle. And man, how true that is. Brandon?
Yeah, so up next we have a little bit of a highlight reel from the RNC, several different speakers. Hulk Hogan, who came in and ran wild on the RNC. Eric Trump is in there. And then a couple highlights from President Trump's speech, which was a different Trump than we've seen in the past, I think.
Yeah, certainly has changed quite a bit since the attempted assassination. But yeah, let's take a look at that video.
Took a shot at my hero. And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
He turned down the most obvious opportunity in politics to inflame the nation after being shot. To inflame the nation, which is an opportunity that almost every other politician I've ever met, and certainly his opponents, would have taken instantly. In the moments, the days, the week after the shooting, he did not say that. He did his best to bring the country together, and I thought, this is the divisive figure, this is the irresponsible person. No. This is the most responsible, unifying behavior of a leader I think I've ever seen.
My father was clear it would not be easy, that there would be a huge price to pay, and that the attacks would be vicious. Looking back, that was an understatement. The made-up Russia hoax, the sham impeachments, the efforts to destroy an unbelievable company, a company that I run today, the efforts to cancel us, to silence him, to gag his free speech, and to drag him through every radical left courthouse in America, to take his life. Yet through it all, he's shown unwavering courage and determination, not just in public, but in every private conversation with me and our family. He stood tall, fueled not by personal ambition, but by a profound love for this country and a love for all of you, the American people.
Friends, delegates, and fellow citizens, I stand before you this evening with a message of confidence, strength, and hope. 4 months from now, we will have an incredible victory, and we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country. Tonight, I make this pledge to the great people of America. I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates, and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill. This is a shame what this administration, the damage that this administration has done, and I say it often, if you took the 10 worst presidents in the history of the United States, think of it, the 10 worst, added them up, they will not have done the damage that Biden has done.
All right, so there's the highlight reel. That was from PBS News that put that together, and Trump wrapping it up there at the end. Drill, baby, drill. He definitely has a way with words. Also, you know, highlighting the disaster that the Biden administration has been, calling it the worst of the last 10 worst combined. So that wrapped up RNC last day. A lot, like I said, a lot of powerful speakers. If you're interested, you can go back and catch you know, anything you missed, probably on YouTube. There were some very, very interesting talks. Next video I want to show you here is the fact that even the left now has turned their back on Joe Biden. Pretty much everyone has now, with a growing number of Democrat politicians asking him to resign, etc. This is a clip from the Jimmy Fallon show, also talking about Joe Biden. Here's Jimmy Fallon.
Friday, Biden sat down for an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and he made it clear that there's only one way that he would leave the race. Take a look at this.
If you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
With the president, and with the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that. I mean, if the Lord Almighty came out and said, Joe, get out of the race, I get out of the race. The Lord Almighty's not coming down.
Democrats are like, we're less worried about God coming down to see you and more worried about you going up to see him. Does that make sense?
All right, so that was Jimmy Fallon with the jokes. Here's another one I thought was pretty funny. This is Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart, who's notoriously not a fan of Donald Trump, in recent skits and shows has come out pretty strong. I wouldn't say against Biden, but really just acknowledging the reality of his mental decline. Here's Jon Stewart on Biden.
For the bar that's been set up for each to pass, Biden has to not look old and not have a senior moment. Go.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden.
Need to call a real estate agent in New Zealand.
All right, there's Jon Stewart sort of making fun of that moment in the debate that was really sort of the beginning of the end for Joe Biden, where he just completely lost his train of thought. And it was rough. We did a whole video on that, recap on that. If you want to go back and watch it, it's a debate special, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Go back on YouTube at Defining Truth and you can check that out. All right, so that was the RNC and some opinions of Biden's performance just prior. Let's go into the next section, Brandon, in Biden's current condition.
Yeah, so it sounds like, as most recently, Biden has announced, I think just within the last 20 minutes, that he's going to stay in the race after, like you said, calls for, I think, 30-plus congressmen now for him to get out. There's been calls between Schumer, Pelosi, and at this point, I don't see how he doesn't. There's speculation that maybe they're going to pull a 25th Amendment. We talked about it in the past. I'd be curious to see how that plays out. But he's sticking in the race, according to him.
Yeah, and here is KTLA Channel 5 News sort of commenting on that. This is updated as of yesterday.
As President Biden isolates at his home in Delaware from COVID-19, he continues to be isolated by some prominent members of his own party. This morning, the Washington Post is reporting that former President Barack Obama is saying that Biden needs to seriously consider his viability in the race and that his path to victory is diminishing. This is video of President Biden returning to his Delaware home last night, deboarding Air Force One. He canceled a campaign event in Las Vegas yesterday after receiving that positive COVID test. He told reporters that he feels good. However, earlier in the day, Representative Adam Schiff of Burbank became the 21st Democrat to urge the president to end his campaign for re-election. Schiff saying in a statement that it's time for Biden to, quote, pass the torch. We spoke to Loyola Law Professor Jessica Levinson, who says this increasing pressure will continue to create uncertainty in the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, in an interview, the president said doctors advised him a medical condition would be the catalyst to prompt him to get out of the race.
All right, so that's KTLA 5 just giving you a little update on a growing number of Democrats who have turned against the Biden regime here, basically telling him, hey, man, it's time to step down. Now, it doesn't look like it's happening. As Brandon, you just mentioned, he just this morning effectively issued a statement, although he did it on X or Twitter or whatever, saying, you know, I'm not dropping out.
Yeah, I really think, you know, it goes to show how much the Democrats really hate Donald Trump. But politically speaking, I mean, we're a little over 3 months out from the presidential election. They need to have a convention. They need to nominate somebody for president. At this point, it switches by the day. They're gonna nominate Biden. They're not going to nominate Biden. He's going to drop out. He's going to stay in the race. Really, politically, at this point, I don't see their path forward. Even if they were to find somebody else to run, it would almost have to be Kamala at this point. Why would you burn? I don't know who they have in the ranks. Maybe Gavin Newsom, which would be a poor idea right now with the new AB 1955 that he just passed, where basically the state has control over your children. So for him to run a national campaign after just doing that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Why not just ride it out, let Biden lose and try to, you know, win seats down ballot to try to gain control of the House or the Senate and control Trump. It just doesn't make sense from a political, take all the emotion out of it. From a political standpoint, kind of riding with Biden is kind of seems like the best path forward politically. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right about the fact that they do not have a good candidate. They're all bad options. And I guess the real question is, will they actually take this loss and just, you know, allow the Republicans to take control again? Or will their pride and sort of arrogance keep them, you know, trying? You know, there's a lot of talk about the 25th Amendment. It's almost like it kind of started already. Brandon, you were reading through what exactly it entails when a president steps down. As you described, the first option under the 25th is for the president himself to submit in writing that he believes he's unhealthy, unfit, and he's resigning.
Which is clearly not going to happen. With the update 30 minutes ago, he says clearly he's good to go.
But it's almost, as we were talking about before, like they gave him the chance to do that. They, you know, Pelosi, as we know, a couple days ago had a very long talk with him over the phone, and I'm sure others have as well. Now you have Obama today chiming in saying that he needs to pass the torch and resign. So, but his official response, as we see from his statement this morning, is I'm not going anywhere. So if you follow the path in the of the 25th Amendment process, if the president won't, then it goes to the VP and the cabinet, correct?
Yeah. So the vice president, if Biden himself doesn't own up to it, then the next option is that the vice president and a majority of the cabinet members, or a majority of Congress, writes the letter and basically says you're unfit and we're going to remove you. And then there's a process from there that eventually you end up having to have 2/3 of both houses have to vote either yay or nay to pull them. My thing is, against strategically from a political standpoint, does it make sense for Republicans? The Democrats would need the Republican support to make that happen. And of course, from first glance, why would Republicans not vote to remove
right.
a sitting president?
Why would you help them?
But well, once
defeat you basically.
Well, what I'm saying is, why would you not want to remove the president as somebody of the opposite party? But in this case, does it make more sense politically
option.
To right. just vote no and keep him there and let them kind of ride and die?
Yeah, and so that's the big question, right? Is what are they going to do? First, the DNC was delaying their convention. Now they say, you know, no, we're going to confirm Joe Biden's our guy. It's their convention's been delayed, I believe, till mid August. So of those two paths, right, you have either they remove Biden or they keep him and he runs. So let's just stick with the, let's say they are going to remove him for a minute. So in the 25th, if the majority of cabinet members, there are 15 cabinets in the executive branch, that means 8 of them plus the vice president have to say, yes, we want him to be removed. Then it would go to Congress where they need a 2/3 vote. If they did that, okay, if they did that, they would have to announce their endorsed candidates by mid-August for their convention. And, you know, of course, rumors abound about who that could be. There's been talk of Michelle Obama. There's been talk of just keeping Kamala Harris because they don't think that the woke crowd would remove a black woman from the ticket, as we discussed in a previous show, even though they believe she's utterly incompetent, which she is. And then, of course, there's lots of talk of Newsom. But as you accurately pointed out, he just destroyed himself with that bill, 1955. It is the most communist, most disgusting bill that's ever been passed in a state. in the last, 50 years. And if you don't know, 1955, basically when locally elected school boards stood up to Newsom's tyranny and said that they believed that parents had a right to know what was going on with their kids at school, specifically when it came to transgender and sexuality issues. The schools, which have become nothing but propaganda machines, denied that and said, no, parents have no right. You know, the government, we own your kids, essentially. But because of local elections, local school boards were winning. They were effectively passing parental notification policies. Ones like Sonia Shaw in Chino School District, Chino Unified. Also, we have the board down here in Temecula Unified School District, which did the same thing. And it immediately drew the ire of Newsom and his tyrannical Gestapo. You had members of the Newsom's government that were personally coming down and getting involved, like the who was the guy that came down to the Chino Unified meeting?
I can't remember his name, but he's
Rob Bonta.
No, Rob Bonta is the attorney general, but this guy was the superintendent of public instruction.
Superintendent, yeah. So he showed up to a meeting, and then Rob Bonta got in on a lawsuit suing TVUSD. Just absolute, like, tyrannical Nazi-type behavior. Well, when they realized that they couldn't beat the grassroots movement, they just decided to pass this sweeping law that says schools do not have to tell parents anything. And that is currently, he just signed it. That's currently the law in California. Schools do not have to tell parents what's going on with their kids sexually, educationally, etc.
Well, there was a moment too a few months ago where I really thought that he was starting to reverse some of the soft on crime policies, and I thought he's teeing up to run a national campaign,
right?
Because this woke nonsense that happens in California is not going to fly in middle America. You might get away with that in New York and California, Oregon, Washington, but he's got to win middle America too.
Oh, I mean, two of the most powerful talks that we just listened to at the RNC at the convention in Milwaukee had to do with California. I mean, yeah. You had the mother who spoke about her son overdosing on fentanyl, which fentanyl absolutely invaded and destroyed Southern California. You're talking a 900%+ increase from one year to another once they started opening the borders. And of course, Newsom's to blame, as well as the Biden administration, who encouraged this sort of chaotic lawlessness. And then the other mother mentioned soft on crime policies when she talked about George Gascon in L.A., letting murderers out and basically not punishing people for committing crimes. And only innocent people suffer, all in the name of their woke leftist ideology. So, yeah, all of that to say, as far as options, if they were going to replace Biden, Newsom really was knocked down a notch, I think, this week with that decision to sign that bill. But, okay, that's you and I talking like rational human beings. The left is completely irrational. They're violent. They're racist. They're they lie to people all the time. As the mother who spoke clearly pointed out, that minorities in this country who have been loyal to these left wing lunatics have been totally stabbed in the back by them.
That was one of the most powerful. We touched on it a little bit, but that was really one of the most powerful parts of her talk. Was for decades, maybe even longer, centuries, or a century. Minority voters have been loyal to the Democrats, right? The Democrats say that they're going to give handouts. In turn, these minority groups have continued to elect them. But they're starting to realize when their sons, daughters, husbands, fathers who served this country overseas are coming back, and now they're falling brunt to the consequences of some of these liberal decisions. They're thinking, wait a second, where's our end of the deal? We're still in poverty. Our streets still suck. Our education system is down the drain. We keep voting for you, and we have been for decades, but what are you giving us? And so finally, unfortunately, it takes somebody close to you to die to, realize that these policies are backwards. But finally, they're realizing maybe the Republicans aren't the enemy like we think.
Well, and they're extremely offensive to minority communities as well. The Democrats paint minorities as sort of hapless, uneducated, incapable people who, voter ID laws, for example, is racist. Why? Because if you're black, you can't get a driver's license? I mean, what are you insinuating? The Democrats are so racist, and really at the core of everything is lies. Virtually everything they say is unfounded. It's untrue. It's the only way they advance their politics, because if they told the truth, or if the truth were allowed to prevail, they would be done. It's like we pointed out on our last podcast. Remember, we talked about how one of the news anchors, or it was the one of the senior correspondents for CNN. He was talking to someone about Donald Trump's debate with Joe Biden. And he very sort of Freudian slipped when he said this. He said, you know, we can't let the truth come out because the truth would be detrimental to our goals. And I was like, wow, I can't believe he said that on the news. Go back and check it out, last podcast, if you haven't watched it.
Speaking of CNN, real quick, Van Jones made a couple of comments on the CNN panel that I thought were really powerful. First off, he said a bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden, insinuating that you know, Biden's down because of COVID. But even more so, he said in reference to speaking about the atmosphere at this recent RNC, he said that the last time that he felt that sort of energy from a political party's convention was in 2008 when Obama got nominated by the DNC. And that's coming from Van Jones at CNN. So that just goes to show you the climate that and the enthusiasm behind Donald Trump, the big, scary orange man that everybody's afraid of.
Well, I think the walls of lies that they've built are crumbling, and people are starting to see the truth. All right, so if they exercise the 25th, is it possible to get Biden out? Yes. Now, here's the other play, like you've mentioned. Why would that even work, right? If they need two-thirds in Congress to support his removal under the 25th, the question is, why would Republicans help them do that?
I think that the only reason that if I was a sitting congressman, the only reason that I would do it is because you have to vote your conscience, one. But really, Biden is not good for our country. So then you have to weigh, is Biden better than Kamala? I mean, Biden is not there. If you look at videos from just 3 years ago of him in interviews, he's a totally different person. I mean, I thought he was kind of a, you know, I didn't vote for him back then. I didn't agree with his policies back then, but at least he was cognitive. Compared to now, he's not. So as a sitting member of Congress on the Republican side, you know, yeah, there's a political game, but like, we're also talking about our country too, and the ramifications of countries like Iran, China, Russia looking at a basically a dead president.
Well, and he's been gone for a long time. So the question is, who's been running the country? Right? I mean, Kamala, as we often point out, is very incompetent. Everyone knows that. She's not making decisions. She can't even think straight. And Biden, we've been saying this for years. And, you know, they've all been complicit in the cover-up of his mental decline. His family, most notably, members of the mainstream media. So the real question is, who is running the country? Anyways, okay. So if they stay with Biden, all right, which it looks like it's moving that way because he's refusing to leave, the DNC is saying Biden's their nominee. Okay, so now you have a dementia patient who is going into November. No one on earth believes he's going to win, okay? So now you get into some just pure speculation and danger zones here. So what they pulled off the first time when Biden's numbers suddenly skyrocketed in the middle of the night over that, you know, that changeover day, if they try something like that again, it's a combination of all of the above, right? Ballot stuffing. Tons of ballots where it's just the only thing counted when it's opened is whether it's an R or a D. No name needed when you ballot stuff. People all over the country stuffing hundreds of ballots in. I don't care if the state allows it or not. The point is Democrats passed laws to make it legal, and they assisted in that fraud. Then you have the whole Dominion voter machines, which you know, they said, oh, they're not online, and yet a whole bunch of them today in Maricopa County went down due to the CrowdStrike cyber failure. So obviously they're connected to something. So all of the above, right? You have all of these problems and stuff. And if they try to pull something like they did, and they try to claim that the dementia patient gets more votes than any other president in history, right? Like they tried the first time, more than Obama. I think that this country will erupt because no sane person on earth will accept or believe that he won the election. So the only path forward I see for them is they take a loss. Biden refuses to bow out, so he doesn't get to or have to say that he was, you know, removed under the 25th Amendment for being unfit, and he just finishes. I don't see any other path forward. I mean, they can put up different candidates to run or whatever, but I mean, he's lost everybody. They've lost the black community. They've certainly lost the Hispanic community. And by the way, they don't want people to know that because they pump out all the propaganda themselves. You know, they have all the, they got Disney Plus and MSNBC and they got the mainstream, you know, movie folks in Hollywood. But all they do is pump lies. In real America, Donald Trump has the Hispanic vote and a growing number of the black vote in this country. As we've seen, as we saw testimonies there at the RNC, and many others, right? So I just don't see a path forward for them other than lying and cheating. You know, they're very insightful. They call violence and rhetoric upon conservatives all the time, just like they did with Donald Trump for a very long time, leading up to the hit, to the shooting. So I guess we'll have to see. I mean, it's almost every day we hear something new about the condition of Joe Biden or, you know, what's going on with the DNC. Who knows?
Yeah, they would really have to pull out a big power player, like you mentioned, like a Michelle Obama or somebody that's, you know, got a lot of money that people know, like Michael Bloomberg. You know, he attempted to run.
Which they could.
But with that, you run the risk of Donald Trump actually having the vote of the American people, and now Donald Trump beats Michelle Obama, and she has no future in politics after that. So... like anything, there's a risk.
All right, so let's move into the last section. Assassination attempt against Donald Trump. Here's the latest news. All right, in the days that followed the attempted assassination, rumors abounded all over social media and online sites about these, you know, theories and all kinds of stuff. But here's a few solid bits of information that have emerged. Okay, number one. The shooter, Crooks, his parents called the police the day of the shooting, sometime after 1 p.m. And here's why. He had apparently told his parents that he was going to the shooting range, hence the rifle missing that belonged to his dad. And he was supposed to be home around 1 p.m. Now, when he did not return, they became increasingly concerned, and they called the police and said, "Our son is missing." Now, I have no doubt that there are missing parts to that story. My first question as an investigator would be, what about this made you so concerned that you needed to call the police? Your son is 20 years old. He has a job that he normally works on Saturdays. And we know that he's already shown up at the Trump rally an hour away. First time he's spotted around 3-something. He's 3 hours before the shooting. So he's already, you know, over there. An hour away from where he lives in Bethel Park. So what was it exactly, right? I want to know that they saw or concerned them. Was it the gun missing? Was it the fact that he, you know, told people he'd be back on Sunday? Who knows, right? I'm sure more will come out there. All right, number two, 3 hours, we now know, prior to the shooting, Thomas Crooks is on law enforcement's radar. When he walks straight into the Secret Service and security checkpoint at a magnetometer, and they find a rangefinder on him. A rangefinder used when hunters need to measure the distance of a faraway target that they're about to shoot. This or, just or golfers, blows my mind.
To be fair, golfers have rangefinders too.
Yeah, except for this one.
He could have been teeing up to hit a drive.
I believe this was an actual hunting piece of equipment, though, for hunters. They knew that he wasn't a golfer, is what I'm saying.
Well, and you had a theory about him walking through the metal detector that we were talking about before.
Yeah, and I can go into that. So it's just my opinion. It's pure conjecture. But I to me, it almost looks like he wanted to get caught. So we did a whole special on the attempt assassination. More has come out now. But essentially, my theory is that there's a lot of tradecraft indicated in his behavior, that he clearly had some help, that this event was planned. And he's not a professional. He's a little kid with literally no experience. So, to me, it was almost like whether, you know, like we talked about, maybe he was blackmailed because of his online activity, who knows, but walking straight into security with a rangefinder in your pocket 3 hours before you conduct the shooting, it's almost like begging to be caught.
Yeah, it was a little strange. He's either begging to get caught, or he really made a mistake. He was so nervous that he made a mistake. But anyways, we'll get into it because there's a lot more than that. I just thought your perspective on that was interesting.
Okay, so many mistakes. It's hard to count. Tim Kennedy thinks there's over 100. It's just mind-blowing how bad everything was about this. Operations, communications, I mean, the whole thing is a disaster. The incompetence here is astounding. Astounding. And of course, this is obviously the result of DEI nonsense, because when you put people in positions of authority because of the color of their skin or their gender instead of their ability to do the job, this is what happens. Failure. And by the way, you see this at every level of the Biden administration. The entire country is going down the drain because his cabinet that we mentioned before is run by DEI hires. They're political ideologues. This is exactly what Saddam Hussein and other dictators did. You know, Saddam made the local shoe repairman and like the ice man from his local village. He gave him positions in the government when he was dictator, because that's what tyrants do. They don't look for capacity, capability, efficiency. No, no, no. They look for ideological loyalty.
They're looking for yes men.
Absolutely. So we now know that Jill Biden had a lot to do with bringing on the current U.S. Secret Service director, Director Cheadle, that she pushed for a female to be the director. So I'm assuming right from the beginning, it wasn't so much about who's the best person for the job. It's about, well, you know, she's a woman, so she qualifies. The next issue is that she was on just weeks prior to this incident, the director of the Secret Service was on the news talking about her 30-30 goal, how her goal is to have 30% women. You know, notice she didn't say my goal is to protect the president or to be the best in the world at protecting people, protective operations. No, she said my goal is to have more women. So we saw how that went during the assassination attempt. It was utterly embarrassing for America and for the Secret Service. But I digress. So 3 hours prior, the shooter walks into a detector and they know he has a rangefinder. That's the first time that we know that law enforcement is aware of his presence. Okay. Now, they see him again, okay, crawling around on his belly 40 minutes prior to the shooting. Crawling around on the ground, mind you. Now, at this point, they have a photo. Someone took a picture of him, and they boloed the photo. So the cops, they all pass it around, and they send it to the Secret Service. So now everybody has a photo of this soon-to-be assassin wannabe crawling around on his belly in a prone position like you would if you were, you know, laying down to shoot with a rifle. So they know he has a rangefinder for distance measuring. Now he's crawling around, and they send a picture around to tell everybody he's suspicious. Okay, stop. At this point, they absolutely should have contacted and detained this guy. At a bare minimum, they should have had a conversation and said, buddy, you're not welcome at this event right now.
You're being weird.
Due to the behavior indicating it's a clear and articulable threat to our security operation. You're welcome to go home. If at that point they couldn't find a reason to arrest, then they should have sent him off property. Absolutely insane that they didn't take action about this. So you have a 3 hour prior notice warning, you have a phone call from the parents, and he pops up again acting like a loony 40 minutes before the shooting. So what is happening with these people?
Well, it gets even worse.
It does. So they pass the photo around, and then about 3 minutes or so out, maybe more, he's crawling up onto the roof. And this is where you may have seen online and social media videos start popping up everywhere. People, regular people, not security professionals, not Secret Service agents, regular people are now cluing in, hey, something's weird, something's off with this guy, red flags going off, and people start shouting, there's a guy over here. Now, he had pre-staged the rifle. Nothing that the Secret Service has revealed has indicated anything about that. They're keeping that very close to the chest. I don't know why, but he pre-staged the weapon and he pre-staged a ladder. So my assumption is obviously this guy was there before the event started. Maybe he got there in the morning because we know he never went to the shooting range like he told his mom and dad.
Yeah.
So at what point was he able to stash a rifle and a ladder on the building that local police are in and occupying? And then where were the sweeps? Where were the canines? How did none of this get detected? I understand if he got the rifle up onto the roof that maybe that didn't get picked up by a dog. But then why wasn't there any aerial surveillance? There was no eye in the sky at all There wasn't a drone. There wasn't a helicopter. There wasn't a fixed wing eye. There was nothing.
Well, so, even if he was allowed, even if he was able, if when he went to the gun range, quote unquote, okay, so he shows up to where this rally is going to be. Everybody knows that this rally, for months, they probably knew that this rally was going to happen on this day. You're from that world. Don't you think that when the president goes somewhere, or don't you know that when the president goes somewhere, they're not showing up 2-3 hours before the event? Aren't they there days before the event securing that location, whether it's at a park or it's, you know, in downtown New York? Isn't there some sort of advance team that goes and secures that location?
Yeah, so here's how that works. So the advance team is there, you know, a couple weeks in advance, or it could be days, 3 or 4 days, depending on the severity of the event and who.
Definitely by the morning of.
Well, so sweeps usually happen the morning of. They may happen the day before, but if you sweep an area, you have to hold it, right? Yeah. Because the minute you walk away, that area is no longer cleared. So what usually happens is dogs show up first thing in the morning, super early. They sweep an area, and you have to post people there. So for the locals or Secret Service, whoever it is standing post, that's when that clock starts. You're getting some overtime this day, right? So normally, a venue and an area would be sweeped early, you know, at 5, 6 in the morning. Depends on when the event starts. I know this was later, but probably that early. And then you got to post guys up, and they got to wait, right? Now, I've heard nothing publicly disclosed about what time they occupied those buildings, but we know this, that kid was at his house the day before, not in Bethel Park, or I'm sorry, not at the rally location in Pennsylvania. He was at Bethel Park. So he got up that morning and was able to reach those things. Now, I will, you know, digress if later they come out and say, well, he staged them a couple days earlier or something. I don't know. No one has said anything like that. Either way, we know what we know, and that's that he walked into a magnetometer with a rangefinder, which essentially let everybody know, I'm here and I'm suspicious, and they did nothing. And then 40 minutes from the shooting, he's crawling around on the ground like a lizard, and this is the guy they know had a rangefinder in his pocket. What are they doing at that point? Okay, then you skip up to where we were, and you know it's minutes before. Everybody's screaming. There's a guy. He's crawling up on the roof. And then you can see, there's different videos, but you can see ones where people actually see the gun. That's when you see their heart rate start going up, and people are screaming, he's got a gun. And they're trying to tell the police. They're telling the Secret Service. Nothing. Now, all we know from there, publicly disclosed by the service and the investigation, is that somebody, I don't know what agency, it was, I believe, local police, did crawl up and look at him and alleged that the guy pointed a rifle at him, so he backed off.
Well, and simultaneously, too, so there's two sniper, counter-sniper units, one facing the south end, one facing the north end. The south end is facing towards him. There's a tree that's obstructed. But then the north team flips and turns their attention to the south. At that point, would you not remove the president? Anytime that there's attention diverted and that, you know, one team has to cover another, would you not take Trump off the stage immediately? Like, why would you wait for something to happen?
He should have been removed way before this. So let's just say that, you know, there's a lot of suspicious people and the bolos have been crawling around. Maybe let's just imagine. I don't know. I'm just making all this up. Let's just say the president's like, no, I want to keep speaking. Let me know if the guy's
there's
an actual threat.
Weirdos at these events.
But at a minimum, okay, at a minimum, in those last few minutes when they did know that the guy who they all had pictures of in their phones, who had come through the magnetometer with a rangefinder, who had crawled up on the roof, at the minute that they know he's taking an elevated position, okay,
and has a gun,
that is time to go. Well, even before they knew he had a gun, they've released now that one of the counter sniper teams saw him on the roof looking at them with a rangefinder. Okay, that's a big part of this story. So the snipers knew exactly where he was, and they see him looking at them with his little measuring device, his rangefinder. At that point, Trump should have been off the stage. Exactly, no question asked. And I can only, like we were talking about before the show today, you know, this is what happens in woke DEI-infested organizations. People are more concerned about getting sued or being the next cop on CNN, you know, getting blamed for something, than they are being proficient or doing their job. So I don't know. I haven't heard these guys talk about it. But in my experience from being a cop and being a special agent, I can tell you that what was probably going through their mind in that moment was, I don't see a gun right now, man. Like, I don't know. I'm not clear to shoot this guy, you know? So there's multiple failures. So, and obviously the easy answer is when you see a guy and you don't know exactly what it is, but it's a threat, like a guy with a rangefinder who's taken an elevated position with a clear line of sight of the president, at a minimum, if you're not going to take that guy out, then move the president off the stage.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand, you know, if you're a law enforcement officer, you're looking at a guy with a scope. You don't want to dump that guy because you don't see a gun yet. And, you know, yes, we know now that it led to that, but he could have just been a weirdo. And so you don't want to dump a guy for a rangefinder. However, at the very least, you tell Trump that he needs to get off the stage. You don't ask him. You don't get his permission. You need to take control of the situation. You move him off the stage. And then if you can secure that threat, or if it ends up being nothing and it's just a weirdo, okay, now you can come back on. You're delayed 5 minutes and you move on. But clearly that didn't happen. And it led to this catastrophic, you know, this is mistake 99 out of 100 at this point.
It's unbelievable. So in the moments or in the aftermath during the investigation, they found, you know, a lot more details. They quickly identified Crooks. They also found that he had a transmitter, a remote detonator for two explosive devices that he had built. One was in his car there at the event. The other was at home. They haven't said anything about, you know, what that was about or what kind of devices, other than that they were explosives and that he had a remote detonator. Now, we don't know what he intended to do with it. I mean, it could have been a distractionary device in the vehicle. Maybe he detonated it to get people, you know, away from him. But clearly this guy thought he was going to live. All of this, when you put it together, remote detonators, transmitters, the fact that he had multiple cell phones on him, all of this to me indicates tradecraft. Somebody professional is behind this, and no idea what motivated him. It could have been, like I've discussed before, just guessing, could have been the money, the power. It could have been, you know, the whole, you can do something great for your country, appeal to ego, or as we discussed today, could have been blackmail. Who knows? But whatever the reason, what is abundantly clear is that there's a lot of tradecraft and professionalism behind what this young man did. And to me, based on the timeline that's been revealed, it looks like he tried to get people to stop him or arrest him, and nobody did. I would say walking into Secret Service and security, when you're there to shoot the president that day, walking right up to them and walking through the metal detector with a rangefinder in your pocket is a pretty... dumb move.
Yeah, you're either very arrogant or you're begging to get caught.
And then I think a short while later, when he's crawling around on the ground, pretending to be a sniper, same guy with the rangefinder, that's also begging to get caught. And again, nothing happened. So there's still a lot of questions that I don't understand. Like, why did he go into the magnetometer area when, in fact, the rifle and his shooting position was staged outside of the area? Why would you ever risk going in to the, you know, to the closer area?
Yeah, especially if you don't need to. I mean, if your stuff's on the outside and that's where you're going to, you know, take a position, walking through the metal detector makes absolutely zero sense. Unless he was trying to act as if, you know, because I'm sure in these situations, you know, you think that everybody's looking at you. So then you start acting weirder. So you try to act like a normal person. You go through and you forget that the rangefinder was in your pocket. You know, I could see that. But that's like, you know, I'm sure there's thousands of people at Trump rallies that go, oh, my gosh, I forgot my pocket knives in my pants, and now I have to go walk back to the car. That's a little different with a rangefinder. What are you doing with a rangefinder at a political event?
Well, here's the other thing. We don't know the details, but what we do know is that it wasn't confiscated or anything. So, like, he still had it. He had it 40 minutes out when he was crawling around on the ground. And then later, we now know that one of the counter-sniper teams, codenamed Hawkeye, they said that they spotted him looking at them through the rangefinder. So nobody did anything about this guy other than send a picture around. The big failure there is they should have contacted him. They should have pulled him aside. They should have interviewed him. And at that point, he should have been removed from that event. I understand the difficulty in large events where there's possibly a lot of suspicious people. That happens a lot at rallies and political events, right? But you, I mean, come on, guys. This isn't a... You know, this isn't downtown LA on some, you know, local rap star or something that you're pulling bodyguard. This is the president of the United States. You got to be professional and proficient. And that's really what we're getting at, is that they weren't. That the Secret Service utterly failed here. They obviously didn't have their A team protecting President Trump. And I believe, just my opinion, that we're going to find out that that was very purposeful. Remember the chain of nonsense here is, you know, Director Cheadle of the Secret Service, who's a DEI hire, obviously incompetent. And guess who her boss is? Mayorkas.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like there was reports coming out now that the Trump administration or the Trump team had asked for increased security given the threat level. They denied it, and RFK Jr. has requested Secret Service. It had previously been denied. It sounds like now he's getting it after Trump puts some pressure on them.
Yeah, of course, because guns are bad, remember?
Well, yeah, but the problem is, again, the Biden administration is using their administration to conduct lawfare and persecute their political opponents. Well, and yeah, ridiculous.
Absolutely. That's what it is. And just weeks before, the Democrats in D.C. were trying to strip Trump of his protective service detail.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, with the whole fake, phony, he's a felon thing with their political persecution. It's gross. It's grotesque. All of which has fallen apart, by the way. Every scheme, every stone that they've thrown at him has failed. Everything. From Russia collusion to the litany, as we heard Eric Trump talking at the RNC about, of far-left radical courts that tried to pin nonsense things on Donald Trump that wouldn't work with any other person in the world. They've all failed. And SCOTUS recently determining that, you know, or defining the presidential immunity, that totally shut down Alvin Bragg's case. It shut down it shut down the document case, which was absolute nonsense. And the Georgia case is done. I mean, look, they've tried and they have failed. Donald Trump is going to the White House.
Well, and like Tucker Carlson said, right, he asked him in that interview, they've done X, Y, and Z. The only option now is to kill you. Trump didn't bite the bait there. Now they've attempted to kill him. They couldn't even get that right. I don't see a path where Trump does not become the next president of the United States. In 1984, when Reagan got the attempted assassination on Reagan, he won the Electoral College 525-13. He lost Michigan, and he lost Washington, D.C. I think it was 10-3, respectively. I don't know if Trump's going to win that by that much, but he needs to win 270. And I don't see how, after getting an attempted assassination attempt, that he doesn't win the presidency, because regardless of what people think about Trump as a person, the mom who's trying to pay for groceries in middle America does not want to see a major presidential candidate or any politician being executed or attempted to be executed on live TV. That alone will make them vote for the Republican, or if it was a Democrat, it would be the Democrat. They're trying to pay for their groceries. They're trying to raise a family. They don't want to see that. We kind of get put in these silos on the coast, whether it be us in California or people in New York, New Jersey. But there's, you know, the majority of the country in middle America that does not want to see that. And they'll vote for Trump because of it. And we've seen that across the political spectrum, whether it be these black rappers who are coming out. Look at 50 Cent putting Trump's face on his album cover. People are relating to Trump more and more across multiple facets. The Republican Party is becoming the party of the blue-collar worker. You saw that with the labor union guy. Regardless of how you feel about labor unions, the Teamsters guy spoke at the RNC because they're looking at the Democrats, who, again, they've been loyal to for decades, and saying, what have you done for us lately? Yeah. And now we have Donald Trump, who can relate to people. Regardless of the fact that he's got a gobs of money and doesn't need to do this, he relates to people through the things that he does and promises that he keeps. And people are looking at the Democrats and saying, not only are you giving us Joe Biden, but you haven't fulfilled any of the promises that you made over the last 40 or 50 years. What do you expect people to do? And then you try to assassinate him? There's no way he doesn't win.
Yeah, well, the facade is definitely crumbling. And what's most powerful about what you're describing is that Donald Trump will come and go, but the facade will affect the future, the foreseeable future for the entire party. It's not about Donald Trump or one man. It's about the lies the left has propagated and how many people they deceived. You know, all over this country, people were deceived by their lies about BLM. They were deceived about their lies of George Floyd. Many people still believe that nonsense. You still look on social media. You have people, individuals, you have churches that supported and believed that absolute trash garbage coming from atheist, Marxist, anti-God organizations. And churches were quick to be like, oh yeah, I am a racist. Everything they said was a lie. Every detail, it all came from their father, the father of lies. And that's all crumbling now. And you're right. an attempt assassination temp is a very desperate but also revealing incident, because what does that tell you about the people that you're dealing with, right? Now, we don't know all of the details yet about this, but I am very curious to see what happens if Donald Trump retakes the White House. A lot of heads are going to roll, metaphorically, okay? A lot of investigations are going to occur.
And they need to. The American people deserve it.
The swamp needs to be cleaned this time. No more talk, no more rhetoric about it. There needs to be some investigations, and we need to hold people. Frankly, we need to hold people who betray our country, who stab America in the back. They need to be held accountable. They shouldn't be in leadership positions. They shouldn't be running bureaucracies or government organizations. They certainly shouldn't have access to American tax dollars. If you hate this country and you have taken steps, which I consider to be treasonous, which have damaged U.S. citizens and our homes and our families and our economy, etc., you don't get to be in charge. You shouldn't do that. We have to hold people accountable. And that's just not how Democrats do it. In DEI land, they don't hold anyone accountable. Yeah. No one gets fired.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that there's a lot of lifelong leftist bureaucrats that are hiding in the dark, cold spaces and corners at Washington, D.C. that should be really worried. Because in 2016, during his campaign, he went with the rhetoric, right? Lock her up, talking about Hillary Clinton, and he was going to put her in jail. And he didn't really do anything. It rallied his base and it got him support. Things like build the wall, he took priority with. I think this time you're not getting that rhetoric from him, but you better be careful, because he spent the last 8 years persecuting him, trying to put him in jail and things like that. And I think now, rightfully so, that he's going to be coming for those people, and their bell is going to get rung real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. As always, we'll keep on top of everything as breaking news comes out. Follow Defining Truth on Instagram. Subscribe, please, on YouTube. Get little email alerts or texts whenever we drop a new podcast episode. And you can follow me, Josiah O'Neill, on X. I try to stay on top of any breaking news on there, and I cover things like the debate or things like that sort of in live time. So that's always a good way to get a good perspective on what's happening and in a timely manner. And please check out DefiningTruth.org, DefiningTruth.org. You can see what we're all about here at Defining Truth, our mission, our goal. And pick up a copy of our book, self-titled Defining Truth. You can get it, as we said, on paperback, Kindle, a digital version, or Audible if you like to listen to it on the way to work. I really enjoy listening to books. Audible's a great site. They picked up our book as well. DefiningTruth.org. Thanks for listening. Please share this content with as many people as you can. If you can't support us financially, sharing our content is a great way to get the word out and speak the truth.